Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. We are blessed to have two guests tonight. We're going to start off the first part of Signs of Life with Dominic Parker, creator of the Am I Psychic app. And then after a quick commercial break, we'll enjoy talking to author Charles Siegel. We'll be taking callers tonight, so if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guests, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. I want to start off the evening with some updates on Forever Family Foundation events and happenings. We want to remind everybody, check the events page on our website regularly for all information on our events and announcements at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and all reservations can be made online. We know that there was a waiting list for those who were closed out of our annual grief retreat this past July in Chester, Connecticut. And while our upcoming winter grief retreat in warm and beautiful Florida is now up and running, that is set for January 5th through 7th, 2018, that too is now almost half filled. We do caution those interested in attending to keep in mind our no refund policy before booking. Each year, 50 guests come from across the globe to spend an all-inclusive weekend with like-minded people in a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. The weekend features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Joseph Scheel, Janet Nohadek, and Doreen Malloy, who will be working alongside Dr. Mo Hanna and the rest of our professional staff. And then it's an all-day luncheon that people are traveling to from all over to attend. It's the Afterlife Luncheon set for Sunday, October 29th. It's a five-hour event that includes a scrumptious lunch. Join us as New York Times bestselling author Leslie Kane, author of Surviving Death, a journalist investigates evidence for an afterlife, is joined by extraordinary medium Laura Lynn Jackson, author of New York Times bestseller The Light Between Us, Stories from Heaven, Lessons from the Living. It's a compelling afternoon of learning and spirit communication. Reservations for this event are just about filled, so you might want to reserve your seat soon if you are thinking of attending. Our Holidays Past raffle drawing is set for December 23rd, so please help us out and buy some raffles, lots of raffles, to win as many as five readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Eliza Ray, Catherine Nadal, and Neil Sapowski. It's only $5 to enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. Lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Back to you, Bob.
And Dominic Parker is a graduate student currently attending Saybrook University in Oakland, California, where he's working towards his PhD in clinical psychology. He's always been interested in parapsychology and psychic phenomena, but it wasn't until he read Lloyd Auerbach's classic book, ESP, Hauntings and Poltergeists, that his interest in the paranormal turned into serious scientific study. Dominic created a mobile app that uses the statistical science of parapsychology to test for psychic ability. His goal was to create an experience that was modern and fun, while not compromising the scientific integrity working behind the scenes. The Am I Psychic app is the first mobile app that combines fun with participation in a legitimate psychological experiment. The ultimate goal is to help prove the existence of psychic phenomena. Dominic's interests include all forms of psychic experiences, including ESP, all forms of psychokinesis, survival of consciousness, as well as field investigations of hauntings, poltergeist phenomena, and apparitions. Welcome to the show, Dominic.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. So I mentioned this app, and it's exciting, the Am I Psychic app. So a lot of people are probably wondering, how the heck does an app that you access on your smartphone, how does that test for psychic ability? And also, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering if they can get immediate results. So tell us a little bit about the features of the app and maybe how you came up with the idea.
Okay. Well, I'll start with how I came up with the idea. I actually started with the idea for a mobile app of some kind to support the parapsychological / paranormal psychic experience community. And that was the first thing I started with. And I was thinking of developing an app that studied the environmental effects in whatever environment you're in, sidereal time, phases of the moon, and things like that. And I brought up this notion with Lloyd Auerbach, and he kind of directed me, he said, why don't you try this instead, creating an app that uses a random number generator to test for psychic ability. And I said, that's a really great idea. And 3 years later, I created the app. I self-funded it myself because, as you said, there's just not a lot of funding in the field of parapsychology, especially for, at the time, I was an undergraduate student, and certainly it's a hard sell to convince someone to give an undergraduate money. So I funded it myself. And the features of the app, what it uses is a random number generator. So a random number generator generates random numbers, except it's like an automatic coin flipper, except instead of heads or tails, it's zeros and ones. And there's varying degrees of random number generators. And the more serious a random number generator you use, the more closer to what would be expected by chance you get. And once you get to a certain point, then it's considered usable for scientific study. So that was kind of, that's what's going on behind the scenes of the app. I created a cryptographically secure random number generator that passed the National Institute of Statistical Technology's test suite, which, long story short, what that means is it's a very advanced random number generator. And how you use that to test for psychic ability is there have been many studies that have shown, specifically Dean Radin and Roger Nelson in the Global Consciousness Project, there have been many studies that show that everyday people who are not necessarily what you would consider to be quote-unquote psychic, are able to influence these random number generators to become less random. So if I say, okay, you know, I'm going to time you for a minute, starting now, influence this random number generator to become less random. And then you look back through the data and you use statistical measures to sift through all of the zeros and ones, and you see that there was a deviation from what would be expected by chance. And then you do that over and over and over again. You run test after test, and eventually you get a body of data that shows that there is an effect. And the best explanation for the effect would be a psychic effect. So that's what the app kind of does, but I wanted to create a package to where it wasn't boring. You didn't feel like you were being tested. There was no big scientific words or anything like that. I wanted it to be an app where if you're 5 years old or 105 years old, you can pick up this app, have fun with it, maybe have a couple laughs because it's pretty tongue-in-cheek. While at the same time, what's going on behind the scenes is very exact statistical science. And it has three different games. A dice game where you're attempting to influence the dice to choose the face of the die that you chose more often than would be expected by chance. Then I have a card game where you have a choice of six colors. You choose a color, and then you attempt to influence the random number generator or the card to flip your color more often than would be expected by chance. And then I have a spoon bending game, which is kind of my favorite game, because you choose a number, and then you attempt to influence the random number generator, and you can actually watch the spoon bend in real time if your chosen number is chosen by the random number generator more often than would be expected by chance. And that's one side of the game, is the psychokinesis side. And then the ESP side is much more simple. The same three games, a dice game, a card game, and a spoon bending game. But for the dice game, you choose a face of the die, and then the dice rolls, and you see whether your the side of the die that you chose, the face of the die that you chose, comes up. And you do that 36 times, and then a result screen comes up, and you can see what would be expected by chance, how you did, the number of correct guesses you made, the number of incorrect. And same thing with a card game. You choose a color, and then the color comes up. And with the spoon bending game, the spoon bends, has six different bending positions. You choose a bending position, and then the spoon bends, and you can see. And the whole point is that each completed test goes into an anonymous database. And like you mentioned, I'm working on my PhD, and the app was actually just approved by my dissertation, by the IRB for Saybrook University, to be used for my doctoral dissertation. And what I want to do is take the anonymous database, so every person who downloads the app and finishes a test, if they so choose, their results will be anonymously collected, so I don't get their names or their email address or anything like that, but I get the data, the numbers. And then I'll take all these numbers, and I will sift through all the data and do some serious number crunching. And then I will attempt to publish in academic journals. And that, like you said, the goal is to help prove the existence of psychic phenomena. This app, the results from the app, hopefully, I mean, we'll see, only the data will tell, but hopefully the data will show that there is a psychic effect, and it's one more block towards crumbling the house of cards that the skeptics in the mainstream scientific community have built, that say this phenomena doesn't exist and these types of phenomena don't exist, when the body of evidence is overwhelming that these phenomena do occur. It is an right. aspect of human experience. So that's kind of what the app is.
Right. We're going to go to a quick break, but you're right. One of the best features is also that it's fun and you get instant gratification, because I downloaded the app and it becomes somewhat addicting and you keep trying to beat your score. So that's what I think a lot of people are going to find real interesting. So stay with us. We're going to take a short break, come back, talk more about the Am I Psychic app with Dominic Parker. We'll be back in a few.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a WindBridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself, visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
In, we have been talking with our first guest of the evening, Dominic Parker, the creator of the MI Psychic app. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research and Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Bob?
So as I mentioned before we went on break, I downloaded the app, and it is a lot of fun. Now, I noticed that you can, and you alluded to this, you can post your score, but it's an option. You don't have to. So I assume that the people that post their scores are the ones that have a higher hit ratio. But what happens with all the other data? In other words, if I abandon, the test halfway through, does that data get collected as well, or is it just when you post it to the leaderboard? Dominic? We seem to have lost Dominic.
We lost Dominic.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I couldn't hear you. Okay. Did you hear me? Did you hear my question?
I could hear everything you said.
I lost you for a minute.
I apologize. So the leaderboard, there's two different sides to it. So the anonymous database, every completed test gets collected into the anonymous database.
Okay.
But then I created an actual leaderboard within the app just for users, for people just to post their score to show other users how well they did. So that's totally for fun. The leaderboard within the app is for fun and for people who download the app. It has nothing to do with the anonymous database. But as far as tests that aren't completed, because of the way statistics and averages work, and because there's six different options in each game, so like the card game has six different colors, a minimum of 36 predictions or a minimum of 1 minute in the psychokinesis mode of the game need to be completed in order for the test results to be collected. Otherwise, if you were 100% accurate for 20 guesses, but you didn't complete the 36 guesses, statistically and scientifically speaking, the results are useless because skeptics could say that, oh, well, the test wasn't completed, so the next 16 guesses or predictions could have been wrong. So, or they could say, you know, they didn't complete the test. They didn't let the full 60 seconds or 3 minutes or whatever it is expire. So it's very well possible that they could have gotten everything wrong after those first 20 seconds. Because what would be expected by chance, it's kind of a Murphy's Law. If it can happen, it will happen. And that's the way statistics and doing these kind of tests where you're measuring against chance works. So a minimum of 36 guesses have to be made in order for the results to quote-unquote count as far right. as science is concerned. That's just the way statistics work. And I wanted to make the app so skeptics couldn't criticize it. There's not many criticisms that can be made about the science behind the app because, without tooting my own horn, I worked so hard on it to make sure that it was airtight.
Yeah. And I hope I didn't bring your average down too much because I did play quite a number of
that's okay. I'm so happy you played.
I posted on the leaderboard once. That was
I
when
saw
I
that.
You know, so let me ask you this, and it's a question I'm sure comes up in your work. So when somebody is involved in a session, and let's say involving psychokinesis, a lot of people will concentrate real hard, as you know, as if they're willing something to happen. Is trying too hard detrimental to the process? I mean, what's your opinion? Can you make these things happen better off?
What the research seems to show is that often if you are trying, it all depends on each individual's process, right? If somebody does extremely well when they're trying very hard consecutively over and over and over again, then that's their process and they need to try very hard. Some people need to be in a relaxed environment and kind of not be focusing so much of their intention on it and just kind of let it happen. It really depends on each person. However, the research seems to show that the best environment for these type of effects, a psychokinetic effect or even an ESP effect to take place, is in a low light environment, not a no light, but a low light environment where someone's sitting, someone's relaxed, whether they've done some meditation. I've even read some studies where drinking a glass of wine and just getting a little bit more relaxed, a little more loose, and kind of let what Ingo Swann would call the analytic overlay, or basically all the noise that happens out in the world. You know, I got to get groceries, my job, my this, my that, everything that we all deal with, kind of letting all of that fade to the background, and then taking one of these tests on the app. And just be very relaxed and not hard on yourself. And that's kind of what the research seems to show on average is the best environment for these type of effects to show up.
Yeah,
but it really depends on each individual person.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a bit of evidence in some of the prior research that people, when they enter an altered state of consciousness, have enhanced psychic abilities. Of course, not everybody, but there's precedent for that. Do you think that psi ability was something that we at one time we all used regularly, but it's sort of become weaned out of us, you know, in modern times?
Gosh, that's a great question. It's difficult to draw on. I mean, there's research, but it's difficult to give a conclusive answer on that. However, if you're asking my personal opinion, what I think based on all of the research I've done in this field, is that the phenomena, these psychic abilities, they are still there. They haven't decreased with modern age. So what's changed from, I don't know, let's say the Middle Ages to now? Technology, all of the responsibilities in life, all of the science too, where this mainstream mechanistic, materialist, physicalist paradigm where, you know, you're nothing but your brain and you're just a robot and they're, you know, when you die and that's it. Things like that. It's made it to where we, in general, the general population no longer sees these phenomena for what they are because they occur in everyday life to millions of people all over the world. But instead of, I don't know, a premonition being taken for what it is, it's seen as a coincidence or, you know, or deja vu or something like that. And I think that these phenomena are just incorrectly categorized, meaning that they're put into, they're not seen for what they are, which are psychic phenomena, psi ability. And that's why there's people like, there's parapsychologists and these scientists and people like you and who try to remind the mainstream population that these phenomena exist. They've been around a long time. I mean, these phenomena are in the Bible. They go back to the time of Socrates and probably even further back than that. And all throughout history, people have had these experiences. And just reminding people that the mechanistic physicalist paradigm may not be 100% accurate. I mean, it's given us so much, but in my opinion, it's just incomplete. If to answer your question shortly, is that these phenomena are often miscategorized and not seen for what they are.
And I know that, I'm just speculating that, you know, part of your inspiration for doing this work and creating the app was stems from the original work of J.B. Ryan, you know, working with the Zener cards and so forth. And
absolutely.
You're also, you know, donating some of the profits, and we hope there's a lot of profit from the app, to Ryan. Is that true, or...?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the dice game, even though it doesn't say dedicated to J.B. Ryan, J.B. Ryan did a lot of tests with dice, and the dice game is an ode, kind of an homage to J.B. Ryan. And as far as some of the profits being generated, yes, some of the profits being generated are being donated to the Ryan Research Center, the oldest parapsychological laboratory in the United States that even now is still doing work in parapsychology when there's not a lot of funding except for private donors and things like that. The Ryan and places like it need all the help they can get. And that's why I'm donating some of the profits, because parapsychology as a science is, it's trying to answer some of the most important questions of humanity. Like where do I go when I die? I mean, every person who's ever lived has probably thought that at some point. What happens when I die? What comes next? And the Ryan Research Center studies those types of things and has for 60 years. So, that's why I'm donating some of the profits to the Ryan Research Center, because of the work they do and how important it is to me and how important it is for everyone on Earth, whether they know it or not.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate what you say, and it's an admirable cause, and you're doing this in a fun way that everybody should get on board. Now, I'm about as technically challenged as anybody else, and I was able to download this pretty quickly. So what do people do? They go to the App Store, either on an iPhone or what's the other store on Android?
Google Play. This is what I would recommend.
Yeah.
You can look it up on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store under Am I Psychic? ? However, what I recommend to people is just to go to the website, mipsychicapp.com. And when you go to the website, in very big, bold print, is a button to click to download it on the App Store and a button to click to download it on the Google Play Store. And just click that button. It will redirect you to the store, either the App Store or the Google Play Store, direct you to the homepage for the app, and then you can just download it And what's important is it's $1.99, and when people download this app, they're supporting further research in parapsychology. And that's what's most important.
$1.99, supporting research and having loads of fun. Well, you can't beat it.
Bargain and a half.
Exactly.
Well, Dominic, I wish we had more time. We'll have to invite you back for a longer segment on another show. Thanks so much for joining us, and keep us posted on your progress. Let us know when you get that PhD and any new developments with the app. We'd love to see the research.
Thank you so much for having me, Bob and Fran. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Take care. Have a good night. Dominic, we're going to go to a break, and we come back. We'll be speaking with our next guest, author Charlie Siegel. So stay with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more. The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life. brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
You are just tuning in. Our second guest of the evening is author Charles Siegel. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Bob?
And Charles Siegel is an author whose first book, Conversations with Angel, A Story of Healing Through the Passageways of Grief, is inspirational fiction with a spiritual touch. As someone who grew up in a spiritual environment, he has a profound belief in the guardian angels and love of spirit that surrounds us, and through his writing, encourages people to see themselves as much more than their physical bodies. Charlie is also a professional nature, wildlife, and landscape photographer who often finds inspiration in things that many of us take for granted. You can find Charlie on Facebook and Instagram at @naturephotobysc. Welcome to the show, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going?
All righty. So I mentioned the book Conversations with Angel. You know, I read it. I thought it was very well written, and it was an inspirational piece. And so what was the inspiration in writing the book?
So I've grown up in a very spiritual kind of lifestyle. My mom owns a store called Wisdom of the Ages in Simsbury, Connecticut. She started it when I was 3, so I've grown up in it, working with her, with customers, and teaching meditation classes with her. And we've had a lot of clients over the years that come in that are dealing with grief and looking for some spiritual support and a more positive outlook on how to handle that difficult kind of time. So I've always wanted to write and to be an author. I wanted my first piece to be something that would really get to go out there and help people, and wanted to direct it towards helping people with dealing with grief.
Well, when I first started reading the book, because we're well versed in all these accounts that people have, I really couldn't tell whether it was, you know, fiction or not. I mean, so I'm curious. I mean, have you? It's a personal question, but have you ever suffered the loss of a loved one? Was that a motivation as well?
Yeah, that is a big part of it. My grandmother, my mom's mother, passed away when I was 9, and that definitely affected me a lot, and gave the inspiration where, in having gone through grief myself, I wanted to do what I can through the spiritual lessons I've learned and being able to help others. I wrote it in a first-person sense in the book. Richard Bach is a big inspiration for me from his spiritual books, and I've read quite a few of his. And a lot of his books are written in the first person, where they take lessons that he's gone through and put it into a fictional sense. So that kind of inspired me for that sort of style of writing, and I wanted to present it that way so that when people are going through it and reading it, it's great to have a book that's in the third person and to kind of jump into someone else's life and explore things going on in that world within the book. But with my work that I wanted to put out with this first piece, I wanted it to be first person so that if someone really is in that state of having lost a loved one, that they're able to step into it as if it were them in the book that's met by an angel that's helped through the whole process, so that like when they put the book down, whether they read just a chapter of it or they sat and read the whole thing, it's like they got to experience that support for themselves and to have it kind of sink in more on a psychological level for the reader that way.
Yeah, and it really does unfold nicely. It takes place in Central Park, and we don't want to give away the complete story, but the main character has an extraordinary experience. So can you give us a little bit of a brief synopsis?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So it starts off with the character in the book having lost his brother a couple of months before. I love Central Park myself from a few family trips there over the years. And I wanted to set it in that so that, like looking at the setting of the book, you have New York City, like big and busy and active all the time, and then you have the peacefulness of Central Park being in the middle of it. So I wanted to put that out so that the message of the book is even within the setting of it, that even in like the busy, hectic part of life, that you can find peace, and or if it were to be like the challenge of grief, that you can find peace in the middle, like how Central Park is in New York City. So I started it off with him going through that, having lost his brother a couple of years ago, and set the scene of how he has family support and he goes to the park to feel better, but that it still is such a personal journey to work through that challenging time of losing a loved one. So I had actually written that there's a chapter in the book called The Story of the Lights. I had written that sometime before, and it came out in a way that I really liked it, really put out the messages I was looking to teach in it, where it's written from heaven's perspective on what it's like to be a soul and to come down and incarnate as a person. And one part in the book, I say that it's like putting clothes on, like for a soul to be born as a person. And that, like, from heaven's perspective, lives are short on earth. So it's written as like two friends that are little balls of light that are souls up in heaven and with the stars and everything, and that they're born as people and come down to that. And then it's goes through the process of when one of those two friends has to pass on and go back to heaven. It's from that soul's perspective, looking back at his friend that's still a person, and how the grief process works from the soul side and from the person side. So I had written that some time ago, and in my photography business, I write inspirational poetry and other short stories, and I a lot of times will print them right on a photo and sell it as a piece that can be framed or put out for display, but it's big, put on a picture. So I onto it for a while and wanted to figure out what I would do with it. And I ended up writing the rest of the book kind of like a shell story for it to present that character, put it in the first person and put it as if someone is going through that challenging time of grief, that they could turn to that story. Just like that in the book, he's met by an angel in Central Park.
And, yeah. And Charlie, some people, they think of angels only in religious terms. I mean, but how would you define an angel? I mean, would an angel be somebody that was once embodied, or more of a divine entity that never incarnated on this earth?
So for me, I'm doing it more from a perspective of a guardian angel. So in the way I was brought up, we look at it that everyone has a guardian angel or a spirit guide that's with them throughout their life, that's helping them from the little things every day to the bigger things in life. So when I say angel, I'm thinking of it more in the terms of a guardian angel, like a spirit guide for that person. But I definitely do also agree with the idea of angels on another plane, like helping with bigger things in the universe and with big events on earth. But in my book, when I say that he's visited by an angel, it's more of a, like a personal guardian angel kind of take on it.
Hmm. So you think that every one of us, whether we recognize it or not, have these guides or angels or entities that they're aware of our existence and they try to nudge us in the right direction?
I do. I connect a lot with the idea that when a loved one does pass on, that then they're watching over their family members and their loved ones from their life, so that they come around as spirit guides and as guardians to help us. And then that beyond that, we also have guardian angels and spirit guides that are around us in support of us. that's how I was raised with working with that kind of ideology, and it's helped me a lot through life with being comforted and getting to connect with that more spiritual side of things. I've had some cool experiences also in my photography business. I started my business 4 years ago, doing very local photography. I live in Connecticut, so doing some New England work and like the barns and the nice landscapes and things around here, and selling that. I've done two different photo tours out in Iceland, which in my book, the cover photo is the Northern Lights, and I've got a couple more pictures in there too from that. I had some really cool experiences out there with, I was led on the tour by people that live in Iceland or people that go there all the time and run tours for photographers. And both times I had experiences with rainbows appearing. And, the second time I was, present for a historic increase in the Northern Lights where they ended up shutting off the capital city's lights for people to get to watch the show in the sky. Where I've recognized that kind of divine guide and setting up ability for me to get to share that nature's beauty with people. So that's been cool to get to be part of that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because seeing that you are a professional photographer, that we know that a lot of people report getting into a sort of an altered state of consciousness when they're surrounded by nature, you know, like a sort of a meditative state, you know, and they feel a deeper connection, you know, to a greater reality. So because of the work that you do, you know, it's somewhat, I guess you consider the work that you do spiritual in nature in that sense, right?
I do, yeah. For me, it's all about helping people to connect with nature and to better connect with themselves that way. So I look at it as when we go out in nature, we're connecting with our true selves and on a deeper level. That I have a lot of friends that are Native Americans. A lot of my teachers were too. So looking at that kind of side of things, they would go out in nature and live out in nature also. And explain that we're a part of everything that's around us. They would say all my relatives. So looking around at things that way, like the more time that I spend out in nature, I start to realize like more deeper things about myself. And when I, some of my side of photography, I'll take pictures of like the little things, you know, like leaves and small animals and stuff. And in my work, I'll kind of make them look big in the way that I compose the image. So I want to help people to get to connect with the nature that's all around us. That like it's awesome when we can go out like on a trip and be surrounded in it. But every day there's beautiful little things around us and like the everyday miracles kind of idea. So I feel like the more people can connect with that, the better it is. And I've had those kind of awesome experiences with like the big things like the Northern Lights and landscapes and things, but some of my photos have been really cool for me when like I had a client the other day that was looking through some of my work and got emotional looking at pictures of trees, and I was like, I totally understand, that's why I do it. There's messages and teachings and everything down to the little details like that.
So I mean, the book Conversations with Angel, it's very uplifting, and I would imagine that people in grief would take some comfort from the book. But what's the message, that the take-home message that you hope those in grief will get after, you know, reading Conversations with Angel?
So I would like for people to realize that it's okay to be in a very emotional state and to have a lot to work through and to process in that kind of time, because it can be really a lot to have to go through the loss of a loved one. But at the same time as accepting their own feelings and whatever time it takes them personally to work through it, in the book I'm working on giving them tools to reach out to nature around them for comfort and to look at the idea that when that loved one passes on, it's really like they're going back to the place that we've all come from. So to think of it like they've gone back home to where they're comfortable, where they're surrounded by other loved ones and friends, and that from there they get to look back on us and continue to share love. One part of my book talks about how, like the man who's lost his brother is missing kind of the brotherly personal connections and how they'd share conversations and joke around. And part of what he comes to realize as he goes through the story is that his brother can now communicate with him in other ways. So he notices there's a part that talks through like making the mist disappear as he's getting to the top of the mountain so he gets to see it. Happy family connections and things just working out right, that a lot of times when it's the family member has gone on to heaven, they're still able to connect with us, but it's kind of our job to look for those connections to be from the spiritual level rather than looking for what they were before. So part of that healing process I want to put out to people is like kind of you get to process through your feelings, but to look at the joys of the new journey, at how their loved one isn't in pain anymore if they had been, and gets to go back to that heavenly place, but that there's still a level of connection. And like people that visit mediums and stuff, like that's a great thing. But even if you don't do that or you don't have that kind of ability either, that there's still a loving presence that can come from that family member. And want to help people to connect with that.
Well said. And we all do have the power to connect. And I have a feeling there'll be another book in your future, huh?
Yep. I'm already starting to work on it. It's exciting. I love writing and getting to help to share the messages with people. And so people can look online. My mom's store, Wisdom of the Ages in Simsbury, is wisdomoftheages.biz online, .biz. You can order my book on there and check out other stuff, or you can download it on Amazon also.
Right. The book is called Conversations with Angel, A Story of Healing Through the Passageways of Grief. And you could reach Charlie on Facebook and Instagram at naturephotobysc. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Hope you come back again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
All right. Take care now.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Mark Eckenbarger, Peanut Enton, Fred Folger, Michael Tim, David Haith, Glenna Irwin, Marianne Pierzga, Diane Archangel, Isabel Ginsberg, Vince Mattia, Lauren Ramnath, Rich LeBly, Helen Montalto, Cynthia Post, Evelyn Ingram, Tina Young, Donna Mello, Matt Mello, Veronica James, Alex Hanna, Catherine Pye, Jerry Diana, Max Banken, Linda Ellis, Eddie Coons, Sandy Rabel, Ed O'Brien, and I think we've got that. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.